Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the song we just sang, Psalm 46, which is the passage under consideration today. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This has been the reading of God's word. Well, this past week, if you're anything like me, you've been a little more attached to the news than normal. This week, the news has more than fed our need to be stimulated. We're getting that dopamine hit, right? We're being rewarded by what we see. Every time I went on the LA Times or CNN or wherever, I was rewarded with another professional sports league suspended, another celebrity testing positive with coronavirus, more stories of the scarcity of paper towels and toilet paper or hand sanitizer. There's bad news at every turn. There's scary news, right? Death is in the news right now. There's a plunging stock market. Schools are closing. The livelihood of so many are being affected by this pandemic. Even that word pandemic is a pretty scary word. My question for you, and this is a question that I'm asking because I'm wrestling with this question, is where are you turning? Where are you turning in light of all of this news? It makes sense we turn to our news feeds, right? We turn to the news to keep feeding on this unfolding crisis. So we have fear, and it's like we go to receive more information that's going to affirm our fear, to feed that impulse we have. We turn to social media to interact about the unfolding crisis. Our small talk at work has basically one subject. Every email is another company telling us that they are committed to washing hands and sanitizing surfaces, which is kind of alarming that they're having to remind us of that fact. Everywhere we turn, there is chaos and crisis, except not everywhere we turn. Because God has given us his word and his spirit to remind us that even when the mountains are being moved into the heart of the sea, the coronavirus isn't the mountains moving into the sea. I think we all know that at this point. Even though the mountains are moving, Psalm 46 tells us, God doesn't move. And by extension, this psalm says that means you don't move either. Turn to God's word, because you get something different there. You get an affirmation that there are pandemics in this world, along with so many other forms of disaster, natural and unnatural alike. There's a lot of suffering, but while the world is affirmed as a curse-suffering world, we're also brought to see a God who is big enough, real enough, and sturdy enough to bear it all. And that's exactly what we need right now during this time. You know, my original thought as of Thursday night was just to continue on with our series on the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's still relevant to everything going on now. But I do want to stop because I think we all need to have our eyes opened and fixed, our hearts meditating on God and all of his awesomeness and his worthiness and his capability, his glory. Psalm 46 is a gift for us in times of uncertainty and anxiety and fear. We're going to grasp hold of three truths, three realities about God, especially during a time of trial. First of all, God is present with his people in times of trial. Secondly, God sustains his people in times of trial. And finally, God is our hope in times of trial. First of all, God is present in our times of trial. All right, so Psalm 46 is encouraging because it affirms for us there are reasons in this world to be fearful. There are reasons in this world to be filled with anxiety. There are things in this world that probably should shake you to the core. The Bible affirms all of that, right? So a tornado rips through a Nashville neighborhood and it indiscriminately takes lives and homes. The proper response is not to throw your hands up and say, oh, well, I guess things happen. The proper response is to grieve. Watching your retirement account bleed money over the last couple of weeks is kind of a big deal. A profoundly contagious virus that is deadly for some of our society's most vulnerable, that means something, especially if we're following Jesus. And he says, if you follow me, you got to love other people. And so we're inundated with bad news. Most of the time we can kind of block out or choose to ignore the bad news. But right now the bad news is enforcing itself on us. We're feeling the effects of this bad news. We are doing this weird exercise of you watching me through a screen. That's how much we're being affected. And yet the Lord still gives us words to minister to anxious and hurting people. And so first of all, remember who God is. He is the God who is present with us in our times of trouble. Remember that when you are in trouble, he is your help. You live in a world where you will at times need to take refuge. Stop there. Soak up that information. You will need to take refuge at times. And so flee to the God who is able to be the kind of refuge that we need. Psalm 9, the stronghold that we need, the strong tower that God reveals himself to be for his people. Psalm 46 begins by describing terror and chaos in the words of an earthquake. The earth gives way, right? So that which is solid, that which is unmoving, we build enormous buildings on top of the earth, that is giving way. The mountains, which are symbolic of being firm, they are immovable, they are powerful, they are not going anywhere except when they do go somewhere. And right now they're going into the sea, they're going into the water, they're going into the chaos. Nothing is more mysterious, scary, powerful, chaotic, untamable, and merciless as the ocean. Go take a boat way offshore, and that's still true, isn't it? The ocean is a terrifying place. Its waters are out of control and tumultuous. They're roaring, they're foaming. The strong mountains, that which is symbolic of being strong and unmovable, they are trembling. And so even when all that's going on, the psalmist says, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. If my strength is found in my physical health, if my strength is found in my bank account and retirement plan, if my refuge is found in a life of ease and pleasure, then there will be reasons to not stop trembling. And there will be reasons to be afraid. And we all know what that's like. We all know the temptation of that. We all know how real that feels. But there's reason to be afraid. There's reason to tremble if that's where we find our strength, if that's where we find our refuge. But go to the refuge, go to the one who is strong in the Lord. Because the mountains may move, but God doesn't move. This is where we as refuge seekers in the Lord have an opportunity, especially to impact our communities, our neighbors, our friends, our unbelieving family. We have an opportunity to impact those people with the gospel right now. It's not because this whole ordeal is being blown out of proportion. In many ways, we are at a point in our society. That's an irrelevant question, right? That's a question for future historians to pick up. Are we overblowing what's going on right now? No, it's don't panic. Impact your community with the gospel because God is our refuge and strength, and he is going nowhere. If your refuge and strength is found in the world, why not panic? If the earth is all you have, is it unreasonable to melt down when that same earth gives way? Listen to the words of another PCA pastor named David Cassidy. He says, we live under the mistaken notion that the systems undergirding our daily life are solid and immovable, but they are not. They're fragile, transient, and crumble as fast as every frail human. But there is one who will not fail you. I use the language in one of my emails from this last week of being a non-anxious presence in our world. Non-anxious presence. How do we do this? Well, it has to begin by seeking refuge in the Lord. A few months ago, neighbors in the office park where our church office is now, they come running into the office and they came in and they said, hey, Robert, don't you own a gray Ford? And I went, uh-oh. I do own a gray Ford. And so they stop and they say, man, we got bad news for you. And they tell me this story of how they watch a guy pull out of the parking spot next to my car. And as he left, he hit my car. He stopped. He looked at the damage. He assessed the damage. And then he peeled away, tires screeching and all. And all of my neighbors at the business park were apparently outside and they witnessed all of this. And so they come in, they're telling me this story and they're grabbing me. We're rushing out to the parking lot and I see the damage. And it's like a little tiny scrape on the side of the car. There's a bigger scrape on the rim of the tire. It's the kind of damage where maybe you wouldn't have even noticed it for a few days, and then you would have wondered, I wonder when this happened on the car. I don't remember that scratch being there. I also worked for an insurance car carrier, auto insurance for a few years. And you kind of know the process. You know how those kinds of things play out, and it certainly wouldn't be worth following up on anything that happened with that kind of damage. And so I looked at the guys who were kind of in a panic mode, and I said, oh man, what a bummer. And they both stopped, confused. And they looked at me and they said, I can't believe like that guy just did that to you and you aren't mad. And I responded, well, I mean, like things happen, you know. And one of the guys looked at me and said, man, you really are a man of God. Except I wasn't. It wasn't because I trusted in the Lord that I was calm and peaceful. It was because the damage wasn't that bad. And I think they were jarred because they witnessed it happen. And yet these guys who were worked up, they could witness my lack of anxiety in my presence. And I was thinking, would someone identify me like that because I was finding my refuge and my strength in God? To be a people of non-anxious presence, because our God isn't only strong and mighty, He's also very present in our trouble. Isn't that beautiful? He's very present in our trouble. I love Ray Ortland's gloss on this passage. He says, we move away from people in trouble. God moves toward people in trouble. That's what it means for God to be very present in our troubles. He moves toward us. We have the opportunity to rest in the God who moves toward us, even when we're needy. And we're usually needy, aren't we? And from that place of rest, we can be those who model that kind of presence for a needy people in our world. Trouble is real. The trouble exists, and God is present in that trouble. Secondly, God is not only present with us in that trouble, He is also, He sustains us in trial as well. Look at verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. All right, go from the picture of the uncontrollable, terrifying waves represented by the sea and its depths. And now we go to another picture of water, right? A calm river with gentle streams. The ocean, unsurprisingly, as terrifying as it is, and as big and as transcendent as it is, it's no match for its creator. So when God is present, that which is uncontrollable is soothed into a stream that's gentle, it's refreshing. In the middle section of this psalm, we move from God as the stronghold and refuge in a world that can be chaotic and turbulent to this picture of peace and calm in the city of Jerusalem, the city of God. Here's what's interesting, though. There is no literal river that runs through the city of Jerusalem where everyone would go. You know, if you go to Paris, France in the summer, it can get fairly hot. None of those old buildings really have air conditioning. And so what will people do in the late afternoon? They will go and they will lay out in the River Seine. There is a river that flows the city of lights, which is refreshing and makes hearts glad. Jerusalem, the city of God, doesn't have anything like this. There is no river. And so what's the point? It's that God is himself the source of life and refreshment that flows through the city that will bring delight and joy and peace. It's not just that God is stronger and more powerful than our trials and tribulations. It's that in the midst of them, he is with us and he sustains us with his presence. So the circumstances, they may or may not change. Like right now, who knows what the future holds? When you look at all the information sources we have, you find some pundits and they're saying, you know, life right now, this is like a minor blip on the way back to normalcy. Others are presenting a far scarier picture of the future. I don't know what the future looks like. We don't know, right? But we have this present God with us who is a source of life and refreshment and goodness and grace. And that is what makes glad. That is what delights the city of God. God is what? God is who makes us glad. I love this idea in a psalm about the world kind of falling apart, right? Any discussion of fear and terror, any discussion of panic and anxiety is an opportunity to pull the thread on the question, where is your joy found? Where am I looking for happiness? One of the great thinkers in the history of the church, Blaise Pascal, said, "All men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end." All men seek happiness because all men seek God. God is our greatest joy. God is the one in whom we were created to delight in. And this is essential to grasp, even if the earth gives way. Tim Keller said, "If our heart's delight is in God and his face, then we can contemplate losing earthly joy without fear." And so Psalm 46 isn't just saying God is stronger than your fears. He is also more worthy of your heart. He's worthy of your joy than your fears. And then in verse 5, the psalmist reiterates, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." Peace and stability, a faithful steadiness, the nation's rage, right? We see this, the nation's rage. The president gives a news conference, the World Health Organization makes an update, and the people rage, and the kingdoms totter, the stock market totters, right? And yet the God who is present, the God whose very presence makes us glad, he is re-identified for us at the end of this stanza in verse 7. He's re-identified as the Lord of heaven's armies, and he's the covenant-keeping faithful God. The God who goes with us, even through trials and tribulations, is the God who is our delight, as we've just seen. And he's the God who is able to change things if he so wills, because he is the promise-keeping one. The Lord of hosts is with us. The commander of heaven's armies belongs to us. That means he's powerful, right? He's mighty. There is no enemy that can thwart his plans. He is sovereign. The way we would think about this is that coronavirus was not created by God. It is the corruption of the good creation that God has made. It is a testimony to the curse-bearing world that we live in. So coronavirus was not created by God, but coronavirus is in the hands of God. Coronavirus is in the hands of God. And that's comforting because it means that God is using it. How is he using it? I don't know. I don't know how God is using it. But we can be confident that he's using it for our good, for his glory. We can see things like the care for the vulnerable. We can see things for the idea of death being what people are thinking about right now, and the fragility of life is on people's minds. And that is a gift to us because God is the answer to those profound questions of life. Our fortress is the God of Jacob. The one who descends with us in our trials isn't just sovereign and powerful. He is the faithful one. That's why he identifies himself as the God of Jacob. He's the God who keeps promises. No universe, there is nothing that can contain God, and yet God freely binds himself in promises to his people. He binds himself, he contains himself in promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. It's true that you cannot put God in a box, but the wonder of wonders is that God has put himself in a box of promises to us. That he's with us, that he's present with us. That he is the God who sustains us even when it's hard. The Lord, first of all, is the one who's present with us in trials. He sustains us in our trials, and finally, he is our hope in trial. Look at verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." All of the great fear-inducing realities this world has, all of them, they amount to nothing before God. All of the great nations, all of the great spokesmen and sources of power, all of the war machines this world has, they are nothing. The nations of the world say, "Come, behold how powerful we are." Think of North Korea and their nuclear testing, right? A sure mark of a totalitarian regime is this focus on strength and might of their military. It's the flexing of power in order to gain the attention and respect of surrounding nations, to gain the admiration of its citizens, or at least just the bare obedience that they can get from their citizens out of fear. That's nothing before God. Psalm 46 says, not come behold all of the power sources of this world, all of the mighty of this world. It says, come behold the works of the Lord. Let's update this psalm. He grounds the F-4 Phantom jet. He snuffs out nuclear arsenals. Replace military might and the fear that it creates in our world with everything else. Earthquakes and famine, they will not have the last word. Diseases and sickness will be eradicated. Our futures, even right now, are tied to an imperishable inheritance that is not dependent on the fragility of a national or even global economy. For now, this is our world. A world of fear, a world of angst. But it's not the only word that we have. A response of fear. Instead, we can live in the hope that God is still God and that he will have the last word. This is the way that we can, even in the midst of trials and tribulations and global pandemics, we can remarkably be still and know that he is God. We can be still and know that he is God. We can be still and know that every sword will be beaten into a plowshare. We can be still and know that sickness and pestilence will be no more. We can be still and know that every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. We can be still and know that death will be no more, that pain will be no more. And we can be still and know that most of us have a far bigger issue than COVID-19. That we are sinners. Yet we can also be still and know that our sins have been forgiven. And we can be still and know that our sins will be no more, because we can be still and know that Jesus bore our sins on the cross, that Jesus conquered death and hell. We can be still and know the tomb is empty, his throne is occupied, and friends, we can be still and know that Jesus is for us. At the end of the day, so many of us will have, or right now already feel in immense ways, the disruption of this pandemic. There's plenty of reason to fear and plenty of reason to have anxiety, which means it is essential to stop and to flee to the one who is our refuge and strength. To find our joy in him as we were created to find our joy in him. To, in a world that is scared, and again, we can roll our eyes or we can acknowledge that death is actually a scary thing. And we can convey a stillness because we know who God is. To live in the current hope that God is with us, to live in the hope that this world will not always be as it is, to be still and know that God gets the last word. And so would the Lord seal this to our hearts in this time. That God is present with us in coronavirus, pandemics, earthquakes, crashing economies, whatever it is, that he sustains us in them, and that ultimately he is our great hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can turn to you, that we can turn to your word, that we are reminded in an uncertain time that you are our rock, you are our refuge, and you are our stronghold. Lord, would we be still and know that you are you, that your word is true, your promises are sure. Lord, during this time, would we grasp hold of those promises, always looking to you? Would our great hope be that you are in the midst of us, even in this church setting, this video church setting with different families? Lord, you are in the midst of us, and what sweet, encouraging, life-giving news that is. We thank you. We pray all of these things using the strong and mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.